There are plenty of guys to choose from, but who ends up on the Mount Rushmore of the greatest commander slash WFT slash Redskins of all time? We'll have that next here on Ref the District. Let's go.
Greetings and salutations and welcome to Ref the District. We're back. Chaos has reigned for the last few months and we haven't been able to provide you content outside of our Wednesday live show. But Stoner, we're back into business, getting our lives together, making sure that we have the time to provide great content for you, our viewer. And what we're doing here in the summer is our Mount Rushmore segment, where we're going to go through each of the big franchises within DC and come up with the players who, or players, coaches, people associated with those programs and who would be on the Mount Rushmore. Commanders are up here first, Stoner. And I think it's important to note that each of these Mount Rushmores is going to look a little different because not all of them kind of have the same feel. Some of these franchises aren't as storied as the others. Sure. Some of them might not have the Hall of Fame caliber, you know, players or coaches to fill up the four heads. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see where we land on each of these. And that'll be part of the first discussion we're going to have here. But I did want to note for our viewers, you get a say in who is on the Mount Rushmore for each of the teams and our final DC Mount Rushmore. You just have to join us on our Wednesday show where we discuss it live, and we'll also have a poll up there so that way you get to join the conversation. That's what we're big here on Ref the District, is you joining the conversation. I don't think I introduced myself, but I'm Nathan. That's the Stoner here. And Stoner, let's get this rolling here with the Washington Redskins football team, Commanders, you know, Mount Rushmore. What are the parameters that you have for, you know, where you were trying to find and hone in? Because we haven't shared our list yet. We don't know who is on our list and how we kind of came about there. So who do you have? Or we'll get to who do you have later. How did you get to who you had?
Okay, well, let me set you up first here with a question. A very, very loaded question. Who is the greatest player who's ever played in this uniform?
I mean,
just, for me, kind of a random question.
Who's for me personally, Daryl Green.
Commander's uniform.
Yeah. Daryl Green would be mine.
That's incorrect.
Okay.
Deion Sanders played for this team.
Meh.
Adrian Peterson played for this team.
That's a good one.
Right.
So not that Deion isn't better than Adrian Peterson, but I do prefer Adrian Peterson over Deion.
Yeah. Right. So we have to, that's sort of the parameters that we have to weed out. Are guys like that eligible, who played one season here, one and a half seasons, two seasons, whatever? Or do they need to be lifetime players? Or do they need to be a majority of their time with this organization? Do we include, I hate to say it, but right now we're the Commanders. Do we say Redskins? Do we go back to the Redskins time frame and choose them? I mean, I think we do. Yeah,
they're all part of the same franchise.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody who's on this current squad.
Yeah.
True. Spoiler alert, who deserves to be on Mount Rushmore.
What?
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. So there's no current commander. I don't even think I have anybody from the, I don't have anybody from the football team on here. Mine are all Redskins.
Yeah, of course. And that makes total sense that it's going to be all. But again, those are the prime. And then also, are we including coaches? Are we including front office execs? Are we including owners? All of these things kind of have to be hashed out before we can come up with our final list. And I don't know that there's necessarily a line in the sand that we need to come up with. But when we're making an argument about a certain person that we believe should go on the list, those may come into play. And a perfect example, like I said, is like a Deion Sanders or Adrian Peterson, who played for this team, who are some of the, Adrian Peterson is a top 10 running back of all time.
Sure.
And he played on this team. Deion Sanders is a top 5 cornerback, maybe the best cornerback in the history of the NFL.
Certainly the loudest.
Definitely the loudest, but you know, he backed it up.
Sure.
Right. So should he be considered? And I don't think he should for this.
No, I think when you go down to it, I don't even think they have to be lifers.
Right.
Because you have players like Art Monk who didn't, you know, finish with the Washington franchise. But I think they have to be known for being in the burgundy and gold. Right. And yeah, I do think you have to include coaches, because I think especially with Washington, more so than the other franchises, the coaches were well known, right? Mm-hmm. The coaches were ones, but in that regard, Lombardi was a Washington coach. So would you include him? He's considered one of the greatest, if not the greatest coach of all time. You know, but I think that he wasn't known for his time in Washington. In fact, I think even some Washington fans don't even realize that he coached here for a couple seasons.
Didn't he pass away as the coach, or did he just retire and then he passed away? He might have been actually the coach when he passed away for the Redskins at that time. I could have my facts mixed up. You'll probably hear me say that a lot, that I have my facts mixed up here, because some of the guys that I'm going to vouch for come from a different era than what we're all aware of or that we all pay attention to.
Sure.
But some of the guys on the list, Nathan, that I considered that did not make the list that I want to throw out at you real quick. Okay.
All right. So these are honorable mentions. We're going to get to
honorable mentions.
Okay. Before you get there, let's make sure everyone's clear on the parameters. Has to be known for being a part of this franchise. Can't be a one-off. Can't be somebody who came here for a couple seasons. Has to be known primarily as somebody who rocked the burgundy and gold.
Yep.
You can be a coach. We're talking, are we excluding anyone who's not in the Hall of Fame, or are we going to
no, you can include them if you have a strong enough argument.
I don't think Hall of Fame is necessary, though. It's a strong argument for any other parameter that we're missing. I think that's really it. For burgundy and gold, impact on the franchise. And, there we go. All right. So these are your honorable mentions. These are ones who didn't make the final four heads,
in my opinion. These are not necessarily what Ref the District is going to come up with in the end, but in my opinion, these guys didn't make the list. The first one you're going to laugh at, but I did consider Kirk Cousins. I consider Kirk Cousins because he did some things while he was here, whether you liked him or not, or he didn't win necessarily. But the sort of stats that he put up while he was here.
We're not starting off on a strong foot, are we? I mean, I don't even put this guy as an honorable mention. I'm not going to argue too much about this because we're not even getting to the meat of the topic here.
Yep.
But you've got to be kidding me. Anyways, moving on.
Bobby Mitchell.
Okay.
That's a good one. I did not put him in there. I did consider him.
Mm-hmm.
Art Monk, you mentioned him.
Yeah.
He's not on my final four.
Mm-hmm.
And one that you might kill me for, everybody might, but I'm not putting Sonny on my final four.
Wow.
I'm not, especially I will say this because I've reconsidered the parameter that we talked about. I did not consider coaches originally because I thought this was more player centric, but I think
Gibbs. I mean, when you're talking about the franchise, Mount Rushmore, the people you think of with the team. I think that especially with Washington, that there's a couple of coaches on mine. Spoiler alert.
Oh, couple.
Not just one.
Oh, wow.
Two coaches on my list.
Here's one more I forgot to write down, but I didn't consider also is John Riggins. I did consider. I keep saying I didn't consider. I did consider, but didn't make my final.
Yeah, he just missed mine. Dexter Manley was another one that just missed mine.
Okay, that's a pretty good one. Is there anybody within the last 30 years? I consider Kirk Cousins, but is there anybody since the Super Bowl era? Is there anybody that you considered that didn't make your list?
Unfortunately, Trent Williams was one that I almost immediately discarded. I think that is if he would have stayed with Washington, continued playing at the caliber that he did, I think he would have been one that could have easily have been a contender. But for the last 30 years, I mean, you have a lot of okay to good players,
right?
But I don't know that you have anyone who reached the level of the previous, you know, generations, right? The last two generations before that, mm-hmm. you know, where we're winning Super Bowls or we're much, you know, much more of a contender and a winning franchise. I mean, that those two generations before this last one, this 30 years that you talk about, Stoner, are the reason why Washington is still pretty high up on the all-time wins list,
right?
And even per winning percentage. Because you got to think, these last 30 years, we've been stinking it up.
Right.
We're still up there as far as one of the top franchises when it comes to wins and winning percentage because of the work that those two generations before put in.
You got like Ryan Kerrigan, Clinton Portis, Chris Cooley, maybe even, mm-hmm. you know, can from the most recent generation
sure.
players.
There's like C-tier guys when you're talking about Rushmore. I mean, they're the ones that, you know, when you're going through, you look at them, you're like, hey, this guy was good, but no, right? When we're talking about those honorable mentions earlier, Art Monk, Dexter Manley, mm-hmm. John Riggins, like those guys you look long and hard at, and then you start kind of going, well, is it this here? So those are our B-tier guys. The guys you mentioned, I love them. They're great. Yeah. They're definitely a part of the core identity of my time as one of the younger guys, you know, watching this franchise. But like they're you immediately you're like, they're not as good, right?
Yeah. Yep. So. Yep. You're right. So they don't make the list, but mm-hmm. because this is a storied franchise, because this is a franchise that goes back 80 plus years, there's a lot of guys to choose from. When you have three Super Bowls plus a couple other championships pre-Super Bowl, there's a lot of guys who have contributed to what the organization is today, or what it was 30 years ago, that you have to consider so many guys, mm-hmm. because this is a heritage franchise, whether you like it or not. Like you said, they're still up there in wins. They're still up there in the most valuable franchises in the world. So you got a lot of guys to choose from. Do we want to go like our number four down to one?
I think we get rid of the easy one first. Okay. And then we can go through the debate on Sonny.
Okay.
All right. How about this? I don't think anybody's making a Washington Redskin Mount Rushmore without Joe Gibbs.
You're right. And I hadn't considered him originally because I hadn't considered coaches.
You didn't consider coaches, yeah.
I can acquiesce, I think is the right word, and say that, yeah, he should be on the Mount Rushmore. Joe Gibbs should be on there. What he did while he was here. His second turn sort of tarnished it a little, because of what they didn't do, let's just sure. say, right? I mean, relatively speaking, compared to what has happened before that window and since that window, he's the greatest coach in the last 30 years.
Yeah, that's what I always tell people with that one, because people always talk about how that second stint tarnished his record. I'm like, if you look at everything surrounding his 4 years, mm-hmm. where he had competitive teams and playoffs,
yep.
right? Like
playoff win.
Like he bona fide Hall of Famer. Obviously he was already a Hall of Fame coach when he came back. But a lot of people's eyes in the DMV, the DC area, or in Burgundy and Gold, the best coach of all time.
Yeah.
Winning three Super Bowls with sure. three different QBs.
Sure.
His winning percentage, just like what he was able to do. And then coming back and still just being competitive after most people would have said the game had passed him by, just outstanding.
Outstanding. Okay. Yep. And so we'll put him on there. I'm happy to.
All right. Joe Gibbs,
lock. All right. He's okay. One.
Let's get to the Sonny discussion here, because Sonny is on mine, but you have him listed as an honorable mention. You didn't put him on, and you kind of teased a little bit there, Stoner, about why you wouldn't put Sonny on your Mount Rushmore.
Look, what Sonny's contributions to this organization cannot be overstated. He's been great, especially, I mean, post-playing career. Mm-hmm. He was with this organization for another 40 years, whatever it was. So his contributions cannot be overlooked. I'm not trying to sort of put him down or denigrate his legacy within the organization, but I had him at number five of my top four guys, and so I couldn't put him on there. Because some of his best years were in an Eagles uniform. Mm. And so he had some great years with Philadelphia. He had some great years with Washington. But if you take just the Washington part, and again, he had some great years there, but he also had some great years with Philadelphia. So that's where I kind of knock him down just a peg. I mean, his 1961 season with Philadelphia is one of the best seasons that a quarterback can have in terms of relatively speaking to his peers during that time. So I have to say that he did that in an Eagles uniform, and that tarnishes it just a little bit, just enough to knock him off the top four.
It's interesting because one of our parameters is that the player has to be known for being burgundy and gold. And I would say most, if not all people, NFL-wide, not just Washington, would say Sonny is a Washington Redskin. 100%. No one would associate him outside of that, right? So 100%. It's interesting that you're knocking him for having successful years outside of Washington when most people would just say that he is a Washington great. And I mean, you know this because you have him at five, but it's interesting. I'm interested to see where you go because with this, who your top four are, because to me, the things he did in his career, being known as a Washington player, being as good as he was on all facets, right? This is a football player. You know, you talked about him being a QB, but he also played defense. He also returned kicks. Like he did it all. And he was a fascinating player to watch in NFL history, is one considered one of the greater players of all time. Like, especially when you look at that generation, you know, football has evolved so much. So it's not quite like baseball where you have, you know, Babe Ruth and Joe DiMaggio, where these legends just continue to grow about how good they were. Right. But Sonny Jurgensen was that guy, right? He was at that level for NFL when he was on the field. He was must watch. He was one of the just the players that you like. Everybody knew Sonny Jurgensen, and people knew him as a Washington great, which is why he makes my Mount Rushmore, but doesn't make yours.
Well, guess what, Nathan? He's not even the best quarterback in team history, and it's not even close. Sammy Baugh is the. I'm sorry to, you know, Daryl Green, who we're going to talk about here in a second as well. I think he's the greatest player in team history. The only knock against him is that he played 80 years ago. So that's a long time ago, and it's a different game, obviously. But what Sammy Baugh did during his time with Washington is almost unprecedented, the things that he did. Mm-hmm. Do you realize some of the things that he did in 1943? Again, that's 80-plus years ago that he did this. But in 1943, he led the league in completions, attempts, completion percentage, rating, quarterback rating. He threw 23 touchdowns, which at the time was a huge amount of touchdowns. I think they only played 12 games at the time, and they didn't throw the ball a lot, which is all amazing, right, that he did all of these things. He also led the league in punting average. And guess what, Nathan? He led the league in defensive interceptions.
Yeah. Yeah. Sammy's a good one.
That's insane.
Yeah, Sam is the all around player that I was actually thinking about. So I don't know why I'm saying Sonny, maybe because it's been a while since I've talked to these. But yeah. Sammy is the one who did it all and at a high level. Although Sonny Jurgensen was on there, does have his own defensive stats and everything that he's registered. But I mean, both outstanding players when you're talking.
Sammy was player of the year twice, which is the equivalent to MVP nowadays. But back then it was player of the year. Eight times he was first or second team all pro. Some of the things in one game, Nathan, in one game in the NFL at the time, he threw four touchdowns and intercepted four passes. In one game, one guy did this. Now, you say it's a different game. I totally get it. The athletes weren't the same back then. But you can only compare it to relative to what the guys were doing at the time. Nobody else was doing this. Nobody else was quarterbacking, playing defense the entire time, and punting and lead and doing all those things incredibly well. And when he retired, he had 13 NFL records to his name. His career is by far the best in this organization, and we all forget about it because it was 80 years. Nobody saw him play. All his highlights are in black and white. I get all of that.
Yeah, but if you can find that, sure.
Yeah, but just look at what he did relative to the players at that time. Some his punting record, his average punting record, wasn't broken until like 2022 or 2021, something like that. His season average, the high. It took 80 years for somebody to break his record, or about 75 years. This is incredible stuff that he did. And the things he did in college and high school, and we're not considering that. But, I mean, he played minor league baseball. He coached afterwards. Sammy Baugh, greatest player in team history, bar none. Anyone wants to argue with me, they can argue with a wall, argue with your mother, whatever cliche that you want to use. And I know that's the old man stoner talking, but I truly believe the best player in the team's history.
Yeah, hard to argue. All that stuff I said about Sonny and whatnot, that's actually, I was thinking Sammy Baugh. I'm surprised they didn't correct me. I'm surprised they didn't correct me there. But yeah, Sammy Baugh.
I mean, Sonny did have some all-around athletic
ability. He did. He was still special, and those two did kind of overlap a little bit as far as their talents are concerned and what they did and what they brought to the team. I can't argue with you that Sammy belongs on here, and I will replace Sonny Jurgensen because I refuse to replace the other two that I have. But yeah, no, that's good. And Sammy is a good one. I don't know why I wasn't thinking Sammy Baugh before. Maybe because, like you said, it is such an old pool. But all that stuff I said about Sonny was actually Sammy. When you're talking about a player who's just must watch, that was it. Sonny was also good, great franchise player, but we'll just miss it for the two of us.
And he played 16 years with Washington, all with Washington, won two titles as a player, and played in like at least two more championship games. So I mean, he was just amazing.
Yep, good selection there. So we got Joe Gibbs and Sammy Baugh. We're both in agreement. Sonny Jurgensen on the outside looking in.
All right.
I'm going to give my next one, and this is a personal one, and this is one I'll never let go because as a fan, a nearly 40-year-old fan, this is who I always associated with Washington above all, and he's getting his jersey retired this year. Darryl Green is on my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I don't think there's any debate about that either. And I think Darryl Green's a lock.
Yeah.
Joe Gibbs is a lock. Darryl Green's a lock. And I think Sammy Baugh is a lock. That fourth one is a little bit up in the air. And I have another, you know, guy who was on my fourth, but we're only doing the three that we're agreeing on. But Darryl Green, absolutely. Four times first team All Pro, won two Super Bowls, I believe. Played 20 years. You know, had 50 some interceptions in his 20 years. Returned punts, and you know, I think he only
in NFL several years running. I mean, I was like 60 years old and still running like a four something. Yeah, and just an all-around talent, all-around good guy. Amazing when you're talking to the greatest wide receivers of all time, Jerry Rice being considered the greatest of all time. He always mentions Darryl Green as being one of the best quarterbacks that he had to face. Lockdown corner, just absolutely a menace on the field. Glad there's no argument here because, again, he's my favorite Washington player of all time, and I would have been very disappointed if somebody wants to knock him off the Mount Rushmore. But, I mean, we are giving people choice in this. It seems like we're a lock for three.
Yeah. Stuff. Yeah, and
we'll have an option for this fourth one, and we're going to give him probably a couple options here. Why don't you start with who you recommend for the fourth spot?
I think my fourth is Charlie Taylor. And again, we're going back quite a few years. We're going back to the 60s. I get it. But some of the things, again, that he did while he was here in Washington are absolutely amazing. He played 13 years here in Washington, was number three pick in the draft, all of that. Only with Washington, coached with Washington as well. He won the three Super Bowls. He was here for the three Super Bowls. First team All-Pro one time, five times. He was second team All-Pro, eight Pro Bowls, NFL Rookie of the Year. Led the league in receptions twice, even though he started as a running back. His first couple years, he was a running back, and they kind of pushed him more to be a receiver. All those I think are pretty amazing. One thing that I really liked about what he did is he became the first rookie in like 20 years to finish in the top 10 in both rushing and receiving as a rookie. And so that's pretty amazing. And so I love what Charlie Taylor meant to this organization, being that he was a coach for a long time. He went through a couple of different coaching changes that he stayed on as an assistant coach with Washington until Norv Turner came in and decided that after 30 years, he was no longer wanted. I thought that was a punk move by Norv Turner, but I think he's my fourth guy on that list.
I think that's an excellent choice. I don't have him on mine. I'm going to present my option for people. I mean, they don't have to take our options. They can clearly take anyone else that they were thinking that should go on there. But George Allen is my fourth head on this Mount Rushmore for the Washington franchise. You're talking about a coach who went to the playoffs 5 out of the 7 years that they were here. That brought this franchise back to relevance because they had started to fall off, and you know, brought things to this team, namely some of the things that we will forever remember, right? The Over the Hill gang, him doing 3 cheers for Redskins, hip hip hooray, and most importantly, during his tenure, due to the enthusiastic play, due to how he kind of managed things, this is where the storied rivalry with the Dallas Cowboys came about. Okay. This is where we all like, we want Dallas. This is where we started to hate the Dallas Cowboys, not just as a normal division rival, but like in our core being as Washington fans, we cannot like Dallas. Like we hate them with all the passion. Most of us say something similar to what I say, which is my two favorite teams are the Washington franchise, Redskins, Commanders, whatever, right? And whoever's playing the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep. And we say that all the time.
And so that's greatly due in part to what George Allen brought. So that's to me a core being of being a Washington fan. And it's because of George Allen and his tenure here in the burgundy and gold.
I don't hate it. I didn't even consider him at all because I think his stint here was too short, only 7 sure. years here in Washington. But I mean, while he was here, you're right. He was an amazing coach, and isn't he the guy you always talk about? He's the guy that led to the guy that led to Joe Gibbs.
Yes.
Right. Cause there's the other guy that like led to Joe Gibbs. I can't remember that guy.
Yeah. There was an in-between period. But when looking at it, George Allen might not have achieved what Joe Gibbs did, but he did set this franchise on a track that set them up for success and ended up getting Joe Gibbs, who was able to then propel that next step. And so, yeah, that was a very important part.
Fair choice. So we've got 3 locks. And we've got plenty of guys, honorable mentions that people can choose from. Or maybe we didn't even mention a guy that should be on that list. I mean, guys like, I don't know, Gary Clark or Chris Samuels or, you know, some guys like that who could possibly be on somebody's Mount Rushmore. Who is that?
Santana Moss, D'Angelo Hall, Santana Moss. Some of these guys in the last 30 years. I mean, these are players the fans are still attached to and that still hang around the team. And yeah, there's some good selections out there. I'm interested to see hear what people have to say. And of course, we're going to be having that discussion on our live Wednesday show. So make sure you join us live 7:30 Eastern right here on YouTube and catch us talking about all sorts of things, Washington Commanders and DC sports. And you get to help us decide who that fourth head is on the Washington Commanders. I'm Nathan Perry. That's the Stoner here, part of Ref the District, part of the Believe Network. Make sure you head over to Bet Online, use our code Believe, and get yourself a free bet is the new change there. So make sure you use that code BLEAV and get yourself started on some smart betting there on Bet Online. We're Ref the District, brought to you by Bet Online. And until next time,
don't sleep on slinging Sammy Ball.
Be a fan.